So my name is Grace. I am currently a junior doctor working in London. I sustained a spinal cord injury nearly 4 years ago now, so I am a full-time wheelchair user as well. I am 26. I am a brown-haired white woman that wears glasses full-time as well. And I'm really passionate about sort of challenging stigma and ableism and inaccessible spaces.
I'm really interested in how you found the experience of keeping a touch diary.
I really underestimated the amount of times I touch patients and the amount of times I'm touched by other people. I really saw the contrast between the touch I receive and give at kind of in my workplace and what it's like when I'm suddenly out of the workplace. I thought that was really interesting. I kind of had a feeling it would be like that, but the actual contrast to me was really surprising. And I think it made me think a lot about consent as well, and not just my consent, but if kind of patients' consent through that, and how each time I touch them, I'm not actually asking every time for consent. And I just, I thought that was really interesting.
One of the things that just was really fascinating and came out really strongly was that difference between your experiences in a professional context, in a working context, and your experiences in public space. And sadly, lots of your experiences in public space didn't surprise me, as I'm also a wheelchair user, and lots of those resonated with me. But it must feel really weird to be perceived and for people to interact and connect with you in very different ways.
When I only graduated, so I started working last August, and it was really jarring to me to suddenly be in this position of power and feeling like I'm slowly kind of feeling more in control of my days, and feeling like I have quite a lot of responsibility and people will look up to me for answers and are very nice to me, and patients are lovely and obviously want me to help them. And then I suddenly get out of work, I take my lanyard off, and I'm just a lot of the time feel like a second class citizen. You know, oh, I can't get into that cafe and some random man will come up to me and say something horrible or try and push me, or I just feel completely invisible, like as I'm sure you know, and you know most wheelchair users do.
There are a few moments in your touch diary that that made me sort of draw breath in particular ways, and some because of how tender and beautiful and intimate they were, and some because of how brutal they felt. It's almost like our bodies become magically, unseen.
Yeah, completely. And I remember that day, it was just extra kind of upsetting to me, because I'd had a really pleasant time for my friend's birthday and felt very welcome and, you know, loved in this space. And then suddenly it's just this reminder that no one expects a wheelchair user to be here. So no one's looking out for me. It's difficult because that is actually something I feel out of work and in work. All the staff areas are inaccessible, really. There's no disabled staff toilets or things like that. So I don't really feel like I belong there either a lot of the time. Yeah.
I was also really interested in your relationship with touch and equipment. And there was some beautiful moments where you're putting people to sleep and you talk about holding the oxygen mask over people's mouths and noses. And it's like there was something that just felt so tender about that. And I've never thought about that act and what an intimate act it is. And also interested in your relationship with different types of equipment that you sort of touch really regularly.
I only started this particular job 3 months ago, and I nearly cried, I think, the first time, because I remember it was a patient that was really anxious and he was crying. And so I was wiping his tears away while I was holding. And it's not something you normally have to do as much with patients, just hold their face. And that feels really suddenly very intimate, and suddenly I'm holding the oxygen over his face. And I remember it felt, I thought I was going to cry the first time, but it still feels really poignant. I had to have 8-hour emergency spinal surgery, and I remember, don't remember much, but my anaesthetist I remember so clearly. And equipment, it's a really interesting one. I use medical equipment on patients, but also myself 10 times a day. To me, it doesn't really feel like medical equipment. So I use catheters, and for me, that just sort of feels like I'm just looking after myself. I find that really interesting. I guess I've become so used to it in my daily life.
I think that's one of the things that's really interesting and feels really exciting about having disabled doctors and healthcare professionals, is that mix of lived and professional expertise. But when I kept a touch diary, I was very aware of like so I need hand over hand support to do a catheter, and that my PA will squeeze my hand. And there's something amazing about they squeeze my hand and it gives me this moment of control, biscuit, that I wouldn't otherwise have. You know, in the day that I recorded a touch, I also had my hand squeezed in reassurance. And it's like the idea that these same acts of touch unlock very different possibilities.
I've got a select number of people that when they're pushing my chair or when they're doing something for me and I kind of lean my head back on them, it just feels like we're doing something really close together. It feels like we've got this lovely relationship, an open relationship, if they hadn't had to kind of help me with some of these things. How I feel about my wheelchair is just an extension of myself. So when someone's pushing it or handling it, you can really sense how they're doing that and what the emotion behind their actions is. I think that's really interesting.
I had a moment. I was brushing my teeth with a PA. I was out of my chair and my chair was like, you know, a few meters away from me. And she got toothpaste on my wheelchair. And she said, "Oh, sorry, I got toothpaste on you," and wipes it off. I was physically separate from my chair, but it really made me laugh that, and it was exactly how I feel about my chair, but she was recognizing it as part of my body, whether I was touching it or not.
I love that. That's really
In terms of your sort of relationship with your colleagues or perceptions of touch, do you think you have different understandings than other people within, like, than colleagues within the system? Or
yeah, I think so. I think I'm much more wary when I am with a patient and they may not be able to move. I really want them to feel in control, because I just remember a lot of the time that I was in hospital, I spent 3 months, a lot of the time I didn't feel in control and I felt violated. I just felt like I didn't have any autonomy, and so that's something that's really, really important to me. And I think last year, my last job, there was a patient who had muscular disease, so he couldn't move his upper limbs and his nails had been digging into his hands a lot. He just was asking if I could get a nurse, I could get some scissors so he could, his wife could cut them. And that just made me feel so horrible, because I could just completely know what that feeling is like, just being out of control and feeling like you have to rely on other people. And so, yeah, I mean, I cut his nails and I just, it's so small, but it felt so big to me, because a lot of the time in my day, the like acts of care I'm doing, they don't feel immediately like beneficial. But this one, I was like, oh, I could even always sense his relief. Yeah, I think I maybe value small acts like that possibly more than some of my colleagues. But it's interesting to me, because the touch diary, really, I did think about consent, because I thought we consent for procedures, but then there is sort of an assumed consent that we'll then go along and do a cannula and then we will put the oxygen mask on and do all these things. But sometimes, yeah, I'm not sure if it would be better to sometimes check in more.
I wondered whether, because I sometimes feel that for people who work in hospitals, for doctors and for healthcare professionals, it must be that some of those things, because that's your job, you're doing it all the time, it must become so routine that maybe the touch becomes invisible, maybe the intimacy becomes invisible, maybe how big and significant and intense that, like, something that might feel like a really easy procedure is, that that's the first or only time that's happening for someone.
I completely agree. I remember after my injury, it took me ages, because I just had pain and kind of medical trauma, it took me ages to experience nice touch again, because I felt so disconnected from my body. And I think for a long time I just sort of plowed through. But no, I remember my therapist asking, you know, what are some touch things that make you feel nice? It was a struggle to name them, because I just felt like I'd sort of disconnected from my body in a way.
If you were thinking of, like, things that you would want, particularly non-disabled people, either colleagues or people in public space, to know about, like, your relationship with touch.
I think able-bodied people kind of will underestimate how often disabled people are touched in a day. So that's why I'm kind of so glad that you're doing this. Not just kind of touched, but their personal space invaded. They underestimate the importance of that. And so that's something I really think needs to be valued, is someone's personal space and feeling in control of their environment. That doesn't mean that they don't need to be looked after in some way, but it's about enabling people to feel in control. What I really love for the future of the world, really, is just to rethink the idea of care. Mm-hmm. I see it more as a mutual understanding, a relationship between two people, instead of this sort of giver and receiver. People will see my partner or someone pushing my wheelchair up a hill, and their view of it is that I'm a very passive in that relationship, when actually I'm maybe the one directing, or I'm one needing to get somewhere. So that's something I really want to get across as well, I think.
I think that's a really lovely way of changing the framing of care. What it makes possible and what good care makes possible is just transformative and is limitless and is huge and is gorgeous. I think that I feel very strongly in agreement with you about the need to like have more depth and range and breadth to how we think about and talk about care. Thank you so much for your perspective. It feels endlessly fascinating to me.